Dodge. And you love your blue suit with the pinstripe and the lovely summer underwear Bess and Walter give you for Christmas and your automatic...
I'm not being frivolous, Sage.
I appreciate you not. But you want to make a mountain out of two cross sticks.
The sacred star of the Milky Way has at last decided to organize a woman's auxiliary. I love the woman's auxiliary. I mean, I love the idea of the woman's auxiliary. You refuse to join the idea of the woman's auxiliary? I mean, do the woman's auxiliary idea...
Oh, you're just getting yourself excited, Dick.
I am the woman's auxiliary.
Now, you see, you're not even talking sense.
What will the guys down the Drysey Venus chapter say when they hear Vic Brooks' wife refuse to join the woman's auxiliary?
I didn't refuse. I only said I didn't want to make myself conspicuous.
Conspicuous?
Well, you said something about the lodge putting on parade, and me riding down Washington Street on a big white horse.
Well, I'd be riding beside you on another big white horse.
I don't do junk like that. I hate junk like that.
You've never experienced junk like that. How do you know you hate junk like that?
I'm not the type woman for junk like that.
Well, I am.
I know you are.
Mom? Scott? Anybody home?
There's the Iceman or somebody.
There is your little son or somebody. Hello, Sonny.
Silver Tisdall made the public assertion I wasn't good looking.
Millions of women would jump at the chance to ride a big white horse down Washington Street.
Not me.
All my parents on deck, by George. All people.
Think of it, Sage. The mammoth parade comes marching by. The band plays and the bugles blare. Who's this beautiful woman riding side saddle with such dash and skill? Why, it's Mrs. Lydia Cook.
Hey, hey.
What's the discussion?
Something on your chin, Willie.
Marshmallow. Hey, just a little while ago downtown, Mildred Tisdall got right up in front of everybody and made the public assertion I wasn't good looking.
Oh, Ish, what do you care? Your mother thinks you're good looking.
I'm plenty good looking.
Your great white horse we need. Your long silk skirts ripple in the breeze. The plumes on your hat flutter and flash in the sunshine. Your noble steed jingles his silver bridle, and you call out, "Get up!" and throw the crowd a smile.
I'm still on the horse, huh?
Yes. Listen to the applause.
World around and face the leader of the counterfeiting clothing manufacturers.
I'll teach you to get smart with me, he roared. Whipping his solid gold revolver from its expensive mink holster, he fired three times. Lady Margaret nervously tapped her fashionable French spats with the handle of her dainty parasol and pinkened, dimpled, shuddered, sighed, choked, wink, trembled, faltered, and sneezed. The miserable, villainous ringleader of the desperate criminals gave utterance to a snarling chuckle, so evil as to chill an honest man to the bone. Huh?
Well, I bet that's the way the fella chuckled.
Do it again. Yeah? Or maybe more on this order.
Or here.
Your real evil chuckle is good and guttural.
Go on with the story.
The miserable, villainous ringleader of the desperate criminals gave utterance to a snarling chuckle, so evil as to chill an honest man to the bone. Lady Margaret glanced down at the toe of her tiny patent leather Mary Jane slipper, gulped, whimpered, gasped, and winced.
Oh, she must be an acrobat.
Sure keeps busy, don't she?
A woman like that skulking around would make me nervous.
Third Lieutenant Stanley drew back his full red lips and revealed twin rows of huge square teeth the color of old ivory. I am going to kiss you, sweetheart, he screamed. Lady Margaret recoiled, shrank, debouched, shriveled, tottered, stumbled, quivered, twitched, and pranced.
Holy smoke.
You've already given me 36 kisses, dear, she pouted. One more makes 37, shouted her lover, as he embraced her with a will. Suddenly, a crowd of horsemen appeared over the horizon, and our friend was startled and amazed.
Home.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Willie. Your father with you?
No.
Didn't I hear talking?
Orville Weenie's here.
Good afternoon, Miss Cook.
Oh, hello, Orville. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It occupies a good deal of my time raising this pompadour.
Yes, I imagine that would keep a person busy.
Raising a pompadour keeps a man busy without causing any big strain on his mind. I don't like to make my brain overwork itself. I like my brain to slush along easy and comfortable.
I was reading out loud some junk from this Third Lieutenant Stanley book. There's a fellow that chuckles an evil, villainous chuckle, and Orville and myself have been practicing that evil villainous.
Yes, I'd kind of counted on your father being here.
Anything wrong?
No, only I kind of halfway stuck my neck out. I told Mr. Corkle. Say, that's a coincidence, Orville. He'll be over here directly.
My brother-in-law will?
Yes.
Well, where does the coincidence come in at?
Well, you and your brother-in-law both being here at the same time.
Well, don't see much of a coincidence in that setup. I'm often in the same place as my brother-in-law is. Like at the supper table nights.
Oh.
No, don't see no big fancy coincidence in that setup.
All right, have it your own way.
Not at all.
I'll just stick your neck out, Mom.
Well, I told Mr. Corkle I'd do something for him, and I might not be able to deliver. I got to get your father's permission.
Well, what'd you tell him you'd do?
Well, I told him I'd fix it so he could play in the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band.
Oh?
He wants to be a musician in that band, and I blurted out a little spiel and practically promised him your father'd arrange it.
Uh-huh.
They pay a fee to the musicians in that band. It's not much, nothing big and substantial in the money line, but it's something. And Mr. Corkle needs all the cash he can get a hold of.
Yeah. Around home, he bellyaches all day long about it.
Well, that's too bad.
He'll fling himself down in his chair there at the supper table of an evening and he'll scream like a smallmouth bass about how hard up he is. My sister Edith, she'll listen a while, and then she'll say, "Shut up, Vernon. I get so tired of listening to you yelp and whimper and..."
Well, don't be telling me any family secrets, Orville.
There's no secret to it. My brother-in-law, he'll holler like a wet buffalo about how he wished he had a couple of extra dollars.
I won't listen to private family confidential trash, Orville. Anyway, I'm going upstairs. Rush, as soon as Gov gets home, holler up and let me know.
Okay.
I'm going to slip in them out of clothes.
Okay.
Go on with the story.
Don't you have to go read gas meters?
Heck with it. Read.
The wretchedly leader of the counterfeiting clothing manufacturers once again snickered his evil snicker.
Be sure and let me know when your father gets home, Willie.
You bet.
That was a pretty evil snicker.
Yes, it was.
Who was that?
Your brother-in-law Vernon plays the piano, don't he, Orville?
He plays it, but he don't play it so hot.
Well, they don't use pianos in a brass band.
Don't they?
No.
Well, this is a kind of a thing that don't worry me a great deal.
No, me neither. But my mother said your brother-in-law wanted to get in the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band. If they don't use pianos in a band, why would your brother...
He plays a banjo also.
Banjo?
Tin, do funny. It's got 10 strings on it. Plunkety, plunkety, plunk, 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 plunkety, plunk.
Yeah, I know what a banjo is.
Tin, do funny.
Well, they don't use banjos in brass bands any more than they use pianos.
I don't care about it.
Well, I was just wondering is all.
This is one of them situations where I don't feel called upon to exert my brain. They can use banjos in brass bands or they can throw banjos in the river. Don't make any difference to me one way or the other. I just let such junk sleep. My brain likes to slush along easy and comfortable. My brain likes to lay back folded and relax. My brain likes...
Hello!
Well, Uncle Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Rush, honey. How are you, Rush, honey?
I'm fine.
I got Roy dejectedly with me.
And I got Orville Weenie with me.
Why?
Is that your father, Rush?
No, it's Uncle Fletcher and Roy dejectedly.
I'll be down directly.
Hello, Fletcher. Hello, Roy.
Hello there, lad.
Hello, Orville. Hello, Ash.
How are you, Mr. Dejectedly?
I can't take. How's the gas for your business?
Stopped working very hard at it this afternoon, Lord. Man hates to drive his brains too fast in warm weather.
Rush, honey. Where's Mama and Papa?
Mama's upstairs. Papa's not home from the office yet.
I and Roy are Dejectedly here have news.
Yeah?
Hope it's not very exciting, Lee. The brains are just nice and soggy and relaxed. I wouldn't want to hear any exciting news to stir them up and make them jump.
Yeah, that'd be fair.
Was sarcasm intended by that remark, Roy?
Yep. Right, honey. Roy Dejectedly and myself are seriously considering buying ourselves a share in the restaurant business.
Really?
We are seriously considering purchasing a piece of the little tiny petite feather pizza.
Yeah, only plan to invest $9 in the enterprise.
How was that, Roy?
I say we only plan to invest $9 in the enterprise.
Why did you feel it was necessary to say that, Roy?
Well, I didn't feel anything very sharp about it one way or the other.
Clear it out your business, Roy. You mentioned tons of money. The food operator keeps his taxes when it comes to his own personal affairs. So this don't blow out your business. No, the stuff isn't up to tons of money. It's not a stuff.
Hey! You're in the living room, kiddo.
It's a popcorn.
Huh? Hi, Doug.
Doug's home, ma'am. Where are you, kiddo?
She's upstairs, Doug.
Hi, that old
pal. Hi. We got quite a few of the different ones on deck.
Is this it?
Rush, is this it?
Yeah.
Hello, Vickery. Well, by the bouquet of beautiful girls.
How are you, Roy?
Yeah.
Orville, this is a pleasure.
Now, Professor, accept this kiss-me $20 bill.
Hello, Mr. Dick.
Say, if we had four more guys, we could get up a baseball nine or a vaudeville track wire. Gentlemen, life is full of joy and laughter.
Yeah,
sure is. You better ask. And I want to see you.
I'll be right
down. That's how I enjoy being around the breakfast, cooking a morning and we are seriously toying with the notion of buying a share of a little tiny petite pleasant butter tea coffee.
Really?
Goggling the thought around in our heads. We might just possibly enter the restaurant business.
Great stuff.
It is great stuff. It is great stuff. The restaurant business are one of the most substantial businesses on the face of the earth. You pick some party, he goes into the ribbon business.
There let him go into the ribbon. The women require ribbons to base on their undershirt, but
they don't require ribbons to base on their undershirt as a gift. On the other hand, people have to eat every day.
Yeah, that's where the restaurant business has got it over the ribbon business.
Keep out of this, Roy.
All right, fine.
You're liable to muddle and obfuscate the thought.
You're absolutely no doubt about it.
Vic, honey, secret negotiations is in progress, and I and Roy might be part owners of the little town for two dozens other tea shopping ere the sun rises in the heavens tonight.
Well, the sun sinks in the heavens tonight.
You were asked a question, are they lab?
No.
Then I think if I was you, I'd sit down.
I am sitting down.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, there you are, young professor. I hope you and Roy are good and successful in your enterprise. I've always had a private ambition myself to go into the restaurant business. Years ago, when I was a young trunk in Belvedere.
Hello? Hello?
That's Mrs. Trogle.
Is it?
I recognize her voice.
Huh.
Hello! That's Mom's friend, Mrs. Trogle, Uncle Fletcher.
Speak up, ma'am.
I'll take it, Uncle Fletcher. That's Sadie's sidekick, Mrs. Trogle, that resides on West Monroe Street.
You must have the wrong number.
No! No. It's Mrs. Trogle.
Give me the telephone.
I'll get it.
Talk of interruptions and just going on. Let's engage in conversation after I'm done here. Oh, you got the wrong number, ma'am. Yes. Goodbye. Women shouldn't be allowed to use a half-wit telephone. They get confused. No, Vic, honey. She looms up altogether. Likely that I and Roy enters the restaurant business.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, got $9 between us. I say, Fletch has got $3.75, and I
Roy,
got...
Roy, I asked you not to mention sums of money.
Well, what's the harm in it?
Well, what a crowd. I guess I knew you were all here, but you look like so many. How are you, Mr. Dejectedly?
Oh, I'm just fine, Miss Grove, just fine.
Sadie, honey, I am glad the whole family are assembled, because I and Roy are desirous of making a statement, which will probably startle...
All right, Uncle Fletcher, but let me say something first. Vic, Mr. Corkle will be here in a minute. I don't know whether I done right or wrong, but I practically...
Well, let me say something first. Kiddo, the lodge is at last going to have a ladies' auxiliary. It's a dream of mine come true. I've been wanting the sacred stars of the Milky Way to have a ladies' auxiliary for the last 15 years.
Well, I'm not much of a joiner, you know, Vic. I'm kind of halfway shy.
Oh, shy. What nonsense.
Well, you appreciate how I am.
I bet 6 months from today there'll be a parade or something, and you and I will ride down Washington Street on twin white horses.
That's the kind of trash I'm no good at.
Or twin motorcycles. There'll be a parade down Washington Street, and along will come Dick Brook, the exalted Big Dipper, the drowsy Venus, chapter of the sacred stars of the Milky Way. And right beside him, astride a magnificent motorcycle, will be his wife, Sadie, the first lady of the auxiliary.
I'd rather die than be seen on Washington Street on a horse or a motorcycle.
You mean you won't join the ladies' auxiliary, the sacred stars of the Milky Way?
We don't need to go into that right now.
Yes, we do. This is a matter close to my heart. If the sacred stars of the Milky Way are willing to accept my wife for membership, I really must...
Vic, please listen.
What is it?
What's the idea of that?
Evil chuckles.
Huh?
Evil chuckles.
What, Mr. Dejectedly?
The boys have got evil chuckles.
Well, see, Mom, we've been reading a Third Lieutenant Stanley book where the villain...
Well, take your evil chuckles some other place. Vic, listen now.
You have changed your mind and wish to ride down Washington Street on a white horse?
No,
I... You wish to ride down Washington Street on a motorcycle?
No, I...
My landlady, Miss Keller, was stirring up a batch of beef puckles the other afternoon.
Listen, I want to say something. Now, Vic, pay attention.
Say what you wish to say.
Mr. Corkle, a guest meter reader fellow, will be here in a minute.
Am I supposed to swoon dead away at those startling types?
Oh, you boys, get out of here.
Oh, well, we were only chuckling.
Take that noise outdoors. Go sit on the porch and chuckle your evil chuckles. You hear, Rush?
Come on, Orville.
Yes, indeed.
To continue, Sade and Vicky, honey, with the amazing announcement, which
I haven't said what I wanted to say yet, Uncle Fletcher. Now, Vic, Mr. Corkle will be here in a minute. I saw him earlier this afternoon. I don't know whether I've done right or wrong, but I practically promised him you'd arrange it so he could be taken into the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. You got Pelter Unbleed into that band, and you got Michigan Fishigan from Michigan, Michigan into that band. Mr. Corkle's been nice to us in lots of different ways, and he's a deserving man and can use extra money. And he's a perfectly grand musician.
Don't he play the piano?
He plays the piano fine.
They don't use pianos in brass bands.
It's the banjo he wants to play in the band. He's got a lovely banjo he plays.
Banjo?
I'll explain the banjo to you, Vic. The banjo is...
They don't use banjos in brass bands, say?
Who don't?
Nobody don't.
Nobody don't love me no more. That is a song the Dead Game Sports used to sing back in the southwestern part of eastern North Dakota. I did.
Have they got a banjo player in the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band?
Of course not.
Well, why do you say of course not?
Because they don't.
All right. Let them hire Mr. Corkle.
There's no such a thing as a banjo in a brass band.
It makes music, don't it?
A banjo get ground up as a brass band. Take the ordinary half-wit in a brass band.
You know good and well you could do this little thing for Mr. Corkle.
But they don't use banjos in bands. They don't use banjos in bands.
They could use banjos in bands.
No.
Oh, you're just taking this attitude because I refuse to ride down Washington Street on a motorcycle.
It couldn't hurt you to ride down Washington Street on a motorcycle.
I practically promised Mr. Corkle.
And don't use banjos in bands.
Well, let him start.
Say, this is ridiculous.
You're right. It is. Does a banjo make music or don't it make music?
Oh, I'm tired of talking about banjos.
Now, you'd rather talk about motorcycles, I bet.
You people aren't becoming disputatious, I hope.
I'm very much afraid we are.
Banjo.
Motorcycles.
What's that?
It's the kids out on the front porch chuckling their evil chuckles.
Mrs. Brooks, are you in the living room?
And here is Mr. Corkle.
Cook?
Yes, I did.
Did she beat the ice man to a pulp this morning? I beg your pardon, Mr. Cook.
He didn't say anything, Mr. Corkle.
I expect he was just making a little joke.
Yes.
In the year 1909, I had something in my tooth and it refused to come out. I forget what I'd done about it.
Telephone the chief of police, likely.
Very funny, Roy.
And how is Edith's mother, Mr. Corkle?
Edith's mother has been enjoying robust health in recent weeks, Mrs. Cook. Of course, she will insist on overdoing. That bad, naughty girl. Sometimes Edith and I feel like giving up. Like this morning.
Yeah? What'd she do?
Well, she... I'm afraid this will sound silly.
No, let it out. Let it out. What'd she do?
Well, the young man, that's the young man that lives next door, Harry Screecher, he owns an automobile roadster.
Dromedaries, they call them.
Do they? I thought a dromedary was some kind of a camel.
Almost the same thing.
Yeah. A camel is almost the same thing as an automobile?
Yeah.
I see.
Well, go ahead, Carter. This young man, Screecher, was lowering the canvas top on his automobile roadster.
Uh-huh.
And when he got it lowered, he produced a sort of a canvas envelope you button around the canvas top.
Uh-huh.
He got all the buttons buttoned up except the one just above the left rear wheel, and that one refused to button. So he asked Edith's mother, who was standing there on the sidewalk, to help him.
Uh-huh.
Well, Edith's mother struggled and tugged at that darn thing, and after a while, she accomplished it.
Oh, is that all?
No, that isn't all.
Something
seemed to be wrong about the automobile, and when they investigated, the young man and Edith's mother discovered that the left rear wheel was up in the air off the ground.
Well,
oh, my goodness.
Well, Edith's mother is muscular and no mistake. She gets awful, awful tired. But there's no argument about her being muscular.
Oh, I shouldn't say that.
Hey, me and Orville have really got evil chuckles worked up now.
Well, hello, Rush. And Orville, you're here too, huh, Orville?
Yeah.
How many gas meters have you read this afternoon?
Two.
And that's not a very good report.
Oh, I don't aim to murder myself, Orville.
Well, Mrs. Cook, about that little matter we discussed earlier this afternoon, did you come to some decision? I mean...
Well, I mentioned the matter to Mr. Gook.
What did he say?
They don't use banjos in brass bands.
Not a general rule they don't, I guess.
They never do. There's not a brass band in the world with a banjo player in it.
There's no law against a brass band with a banjo player.
Well, of course not.
A brass band with a banjo player would be silly.
Mr. Corkle is silly.
I didn't say that.
Your remark could be interpreted to mean that.
This conversation is going tight.
Who is making it that way? And you boys can stop that. Mitch, could you, if you wanted to, arrange it so that Mr. Corkle could play in Stewie's disposal worker silver cornet band?
They do not have banjos in bands.
Corkle, I and Roy here may enter into the rescue business.
Is that a fact?
We are seriously toying with the notion of purchasing a piece of the little tiny petite pheasant for their tea shopping.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Going to invest $9.
Roy, you've done it again. You throw that to business, you mentioned sums of money.
Uh-huh.
And Vic, I'll make a deal with you.
What's that?
If you'll fix it so Mr. Corkle plays his banjo in the band, I'll join the ladies' auxiliary.
Yes?
Yeah.
No fooling?
No fooling.
You ride down Washington State in the parade on a white horse?
Yes.
And you ride down Washington State in the parade on a black motorcycle?
Yes.
That's a deal.
Good.
Corkle, band rehearsal is on Monday night at 8 o'clock in the Unity Building. I'm just enormously grateful, Mr. Gould. Think of another.
Happy to you?
Yes, yes, I'm happy.
Life is full of joy and laughter.
Yeah, like in the Sir Lieutenant Stanley book. Give me another kiss, Lady Margaret, screamed the handsome young officer. The beautiful woman yielded him the sweet caress. Sir Lieutenant Clinton Stanley was so happy and crazed that he leaped high into the air, clicking his heels together 5 times before returning to the ground. That was a dandy kiss, he howled, and the young couple walked 2 by 2 into the sunset.